Today's Old Testament reading is Psalm 90, which is on page 588 of the Pew Bibles, and it is prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad for all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendour to their children. May the favour of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our
hands. Please be seated. I don't mean to be too rude, but have you ever noticed that you're getting old? As we get older, we have a lot going for us, as you know. Our hair, our eyesight, our memory, our mobility, our money, not to mention our hearing and our health. How should we approach getting old? John and I have put together a series of 4 sermons we hope will help us to reflect biblically on what it means to deal with our getting older. The first place I want to take you to look at that is Psalm 90. Psalm, as we heard, written by Moses, described as the man of God. He was leading his people through the wilderness. And I've sort of described the first little bit of this psalm as Moses has a reality check. I can imagine Moses one evening lying in his tent, pondering the big questions of life. Who is God? Who am I? What is life about? And he concludes, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God." In the words of Isaac Watts's paraphrase, 1,000 ages in your sight are like an evening gone. They were wanderers in the desert, living in tents, no place to call home. But God, he realizes, is their home. He is the eternal, unchanging God, and their home is in him. The word for "you are our dwelling place" is the same as the word for refuge. God is our refuge. We find it used regularly in the scriptures. God is eternal. He is forever. That is really where their home was, not in the different place they probably slept every other night in the desert. in the Sinai desert. Mankind, he mused, on the other hand, is mortal. Mankind is turned back to dust. Our life, far from being eternal, is over in a flash. We come up in the morning, he says, like the grass in the Sinai desert, and by evening it's dry and withered and gone. We live for 70 or 80 years, and they're over in a flash. Like one stroke of a weaver's shuttle, was Job's description. That's your life. James said it's like a mist in the morning. You wake up, there's a fog or a mist. By 10 or 11 o'clock, it's gone. That's how James described the brevity of our life. Over in a few hours. And as the writer here also says, toward the end, there's a bit of a struggle. I love the picture in Ecclesiastes 12, which reminds us of an old grasshopper hobbling along, needing joint therapy. So that's really what we're like. You see, the old grasshopper is dragging himself along toward the end of his days. And without being rude to my two sisters, who I've just spent a lovely time with recently at a family wedding, but we took them somewhere and both of them had leg problems. And I was watching them walk into this club and I said, both of you remind me of Ecclesiastes 12. And my sister has had a bunionectomy at one stage, and so she tells me that's always the problem. And my other sister had some kind of problem currently with her leg, and they're both hobbling into this club. And I said, you girls remind me of Ecclesiastes 12, the grasshopper just hobbling along toward the end. Well, Moses' reality check is God is eternal. We are mortal. We only have a certain number of days to live our lives. Further, he says, we are sinful. We are sinful in the face of an eternal, pure God, a God whose wrath is as great as the fear that is due to him. His wrath is as great as that. That's how great it is. We are condemned sinners with a short lifespan. So in verses 12 to 17, Moses prays for wisdom. And he begins this way. Teach us to number our days that we might have hearts of wisdom. Or as the newer song about that says, that we might have wise hearts. That we might be wise about the number of days that we have. We are not going to be around forever. So never talk about if I die to your children. So if I die, you can have this or that. Say, when I die, you can have this or that, and you'll be on your way to some sort of reality. It's sort of if I die, as if you've got some knowledge that you're not going to die like the rest of us. When you die, then you can have that tea set or whatever it is that's so precious to you. Teach us to number our days that we might have wise hearts. Help us realize how brief our life is, that we might live it well and be prepared for its end. Have you realized that yet? Do you look back and say about your life, where has it all gone? As you look ahead, realize, and if I can say this to you delicately, if your life was like an hourglass in that old TV show, you realize most of the sand in the hourglass of your life is on the bottom. There's not much left on the top, if I may put it boldly. And that's true for me as well. Let's assume I live for 80. I don't know whether I'll live for 80. But 7/8 of mine is already on the bottom of the hourglass. Let's not kid ourselves. So that's what he's saying. Teach us to number our days. Let's not pretend otherwise. Moses also prayed for several other things in that prayer. He prayed for compassion from God on him and his people because of their sinfulness. He prayed for God to fill his and his people's lives with love and joy and gladness. He prayed that their children might know their God also, and that God's favour would rest upon his people. Most of these prayers we see answered in Christ. That is how God has shown his compassion to us. That is how God has enabled us to fill our lives with joy, peace, and gladness. And that is how God's favour continues to rest upon us. We see them answered in the joy we have by abiding in Christ, taking our refuge in Christ, to keep up that illusion, or that word of allusion rather than illusion, that allusion of God is our dwelling place. That brings me to the third thing I want to say this morning, and that is, how do we adopt a wise approach to aging today? What would having a wise heart, that is aware that its days are numbered, look like for you and me today? Let me offer a few thoughts. Firstly, when it comes to aging, you have two choices. You can deny it or accept it. May I suggest a wise heart will accept it? And that the decline that is happening for a while is real. Do you have any photos of yourself in the house from when you were youthful, when you were married, when you were at the prime of your life, and you look at those pictures and even your grandchildren say, how old were you then? Do you accept and embrace the whole thing? I don't want you just to accept it. I want you to embrace it. Robert Browning's poem, Rabbi Ben Ezra, suggests this. You may often know the first line of this, or half of the first line. Grow old with me, the best is yet to come. The last of life for which the first was made. Our times are in his hands. The one who said, a whole I planned, youth shows but half, trust God. See all and do not be afraid. What's Robert Browning trying to tell us in that poem? He's saying, God made our lives in two halves. Youth is the first half. And if you're a youth and your life is an enjoyable life, you think that's great. There's nothing better than that. But he's really saying, no, God has made us to have life, a whole life, and the second half is the best half. Grow old with me, the best is yet to come. The second half of your life is meant to be even better than the first half. You might think, well, if you had my aches and pains, how could that be true? Our times are in his hands. The one who said, a whole I planned, a whole life, youth shows but half. Trust God for the second half. Your times are in his hand. Old age is a part of what he has planned for you. If God grants you to live to an old age, it's part of his plan for you, and the second half is meant to be even more enjoyable, according to Robert Browning, than the first half. Enjoy it more than your youthfulness, for after all, you are much wiser. Is that not right? You keep saying, I'm wiser now. Well, then you're wiser to enjoy the second half. Do you value being the senior in your family? Or do you try and pretend that you're youthful and you're not a senior? Your family actually like to have seniors to look up to. So you ought to value being the senior person in your family and in your church. We do not make enough of the contribution that you seniors can make to this church and to the younger people. Some people do, but often the younger ones are wanting to look up to senior role models of Christians, and we ought to work as a church at how we can make that happen. We have much to contribute in our community by being old. See, for centuries, and in many cultures still, senior people are revered. Somehow in our culture we've been trying to reverse that, to say that once you're old, you're on the shelf and it's youth that really rules. That's not a biblical picture. The biblical picture is that as you get older, you have more to contribute. Like Moses, you've got more time to reflect on the meaning of life. So what you can do in the second half of your life is embark on deepening your spiritual journey and your walk with God. Have you ever thought of that? This is your opportunity to develop your spiritual life and your journey with God, whom you are getting ever closer to meeting in eternity. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're reminded in the Proverbs. So getting to know God and embarking on that spiritual journey is what you ought to do. When I came back to Sydney some 18 years ago to a very small parish, which really, if I can be honest, I could run in less than a week, I began to think, what should I do with my time? I'd stopped being a taxi for my children. They'd all grown up and gone. And I thought, I actually have time to read my Bible more and pray, which I've been telling people for years is what they all ought to do. So now's the time to do a bit of it. So I started reading my Bible and praying more, simply because I had more time to do it. You have more time to do that now as you develop your Christian journey and your life with God and you explore what it is. Instead of trying to be busy all the time, you could spend time being wise by journeying with God in your own spiritual journey. That way you can be even more help to the younger people in your life, and you can work out what you can contribute to the life of others. In his second letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul also gives us much wisdom on this matter of aging. He says, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, read, getting old, inwardly we are being renewed every day. So as the aging process is happening and you're wearing out your physical body, so the Apostle Paul says spiritually, your spiritual life should be being renewed and growing, preparing us for the eternal and unseen glory to come. And Paul, like Moses, knew something about tents. I don't want to pretend that Paul was lying in his tent one night, but it could have been like that as he thinks about the tent he lives in. Paul was a tent maker. He knew something about tents that wore out. And he's saying this tent, this earthly tent we live in, is destroyed. We know that if that happens, we have an eternal house, a building made by God to live in. So he's onto the same thought as Paul, as Moses was several centuries before. Your earthly tent, it's wearing out. But you have an eternal house, a building made by God to live in. And that while we're in this old one, groaning and it's ever in creaking, we are not in our eternal dwelling with God. And several times Paul reflects that his preference, he's hard-pressed to know, but in the end he comes down and decides my preference really would be at home with the Lord. So he wrote to another bunch of Christians in Philippi and said, I'm hard-pressed to work out what I want to do. If I'm here, I'm with you. And if I die, I'm with God, and I can't work out what I want. You and I ought to be at that stage where as we grow older, we're thinking, yeah, I'm really looking forward to being with God. I'm happy to be around now if I can be of use to anybody. But I'm now so longing to be at the end of my journey. Malcolm Muggeridge was musing on that. He used to say when he went on cruise ships as a young person, the life on board the cruise ship was what was important to him. The deck tennis and the this and the that and all the exciting things of being on a cruise. But as I got older, he said, I was thinking more about my destination and just getting there. And as we get older, it's the destination that we should be thinking about. When Paul's time on this earth was nearly up, he wrote to a colleague, "The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." In other words, he was looking forward to eternity, and he was probably in his mid-60s. Does that describe how your journey is taking you? That you are looking forward to eternity. Your body is wearing out. Teach us to number our days. Lord, help us not to kid ourselves. Lord, help us not to think we're not old. You are old. You can be at this service, probably. I can see one exception down here, Naomi. But even she's aging. She's older now than she was when I first met her. She is aging. And it happens to us all. Just some have started here, some of us are up here. How wise are you? Have you realized the number of your days is limited and your spiritual journey to eternity? How's that going? Are you at peace with your aging process? Have you embraced the second half of your life, which makes up the whole that God has planned for you? Are you able to trust God with this half of your life and be positive about it? If you are, what a blessing you can be to the people that God brings your way. Are you prepared for eternity? Have you been never quite made that full preparation that says, I've surrendered my life to Christ? You've been given a certain number of days to do that. Don't put it off. Do it before it's too late. Make sure your heart is right before God. John Wesley once said, "We Christians die well." Is that a description of you? Let me pray. Lord, teach us to number our days that we might have wise hearts. Help us to realize that you are eternal, we are mortal, but in Christ you have given us all we need to be prepared for eternity. Help us, Father, to embrace our aging positively, to use it as a gift from you, and to use it for the benefit of others, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen.